We're back. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Snooze and Booze podcast. This one, because the last one we did was only about half an hour, so this is probably going to be our first full one in a while.
True, right? True.
Yeah.
It was just, what do you call, like, the quick ones?
Like mini episodes?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Find, like, a good little nickname for it.
Yeah, it but, like, I mean, to be fair, most, you know, a lot of regular podcasts are only, like, half hour, 40 minutes, any, so.
True.
But just because, remember, we used to do, like, over 3 hour long podcasts.
Yeah, man, that was crazy.
I think we got the groove at a little over an hour now. That's
just about
that fits, right? That seems
just to cut off before you don't start getting too sloppy.
To be fair though, I got hit up for our last episode. About 4 to 5 different people hit me up for our last episode, even though it was only 30 minutes.
Really?
And we just put it out like a week ago, right?
Just the other day. Yeah.
I'll tell you which part. The breastfeeding Instagram. That part seemed to get a lot of people.
Really?
Well,
or what they say or whatever.
Maybe it's a me thing personally, because I guess people had been seeing that I've been following these things. And I got, how do I put it? Okay, so Christian hit me up. Junior hit me up. A couple other buddies hit me up.
Chris,
another friend from work, Chris, hit me up. And they were just like, oh, I saw you following this. And this is my buddy Chris from work. I saw you following this, and I thought it was fucking weird, but like, I thought whatever about it. And then I heard your podcast, and I started laughing. Like,
Okay.
And then Junior hit me up. He sent me like one of those Instagrams of, you know, some lady breastfeeding. And I was like, oh my god, dude, have you heard the lady? And Christian did this exact same thing. He sent me like a meme of some, you know, beautiful big titty chick with a fake baby. and then, you know, whatever, like breastfeeding or pretending to like show someone how to breastfeed.
Okay.
And then I was like, wait, have you heard the lesson? And he's like, no, why? He's like, oh my god, just literally brought this up. And then they come back after like an hour later after listening to it, they couldn't stop laughing, whatever, just because.
Oh shit,
it was just funny. The whole thing was, but that's the part of the episode that I guess is making everybody laugh, because either A, it's funny that I'm already onto it and following like a dozen of these pages.
Okay.
Or B, they saw that I was following it and they thought it was fucking weird that I'm following so many. And then they hear the podcast and, you know, it was becoming a joke type of thing.
But either way, like, it gets a reaction.
Yeah.
Dang, dozen pages? Like, how did they, like, not get banned? Is it because, like, it's literally just breastfeeding that it's okay?
I guess. It's one of those loophole things, you know? Yeah.
Huh.
But it's not even, like, they're trying to hide it, because the links to these breastfeeding pages link to OnlyFans.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not even like, okay, so someone's not doing their, you know, their work. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Huh.
So funny.
Yeah. What's like the OnlyFans like?
I follow them. They're not as attractive as the people that are actually breastfeeding. So I don't know if that means anything.
Huh. Interesting. Is it like breastfeeding like in the OnlyFans? Like
no.
Oh,
it's an actual just like a girl selling her shit, but. I guess the OnlyFans is the way so you can see the actual breast or whatever.
Right.
It's so weird. I don't know.
Interesting. Free the nipple, I guess. You know,
hashtag free the nipple. You know, do the whole Europe thing where they're more like sex conscious about things, or they don't think as a big deal.
We're the prudish Americans. Is that the thing?
Pilgrim. So, you know. Yeah. Is that like that movie Unfinished Business?
Which one's Unfinished Business?
Someone with Dave Franco and Tom Wilkinson and.
Oh, were they businessmen or something?
Yeah,
they
went overseas, yeah.
Wait, Vince, where do they go? Germany?
They go all over Europe, but Germany's like where they end up, yeah.
Okay.
Amsterdam first, then, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Is it one of the movies that we watched at your pad, like, way back when?
Yeah. We were kind of, you were pretty drunk, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because this is like, I have like little like frames of it in my head.
I forgot what we watched first, but that one was like, oh, what else did we put on? And then that one, and you, we were all, I kept drinking, and
nice.
I was like, oh, I have this one, let's watch this one. And
right. Yeah. Nice.
It's funny though.
Yeah. Funny. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, like at work, like sometimes I do this thing where like I'll put on a movie, even like I'm like doing whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, just.
Yeah, background shit. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I do that while I'm driving.
Oh, nice.
On my long road trips.
Oh, yes, it makes sense.
But even on short ones, too.
A little stupid.
I'm a very dangerous right now.
But I saw this movie called The Sadness, just because I kept hearing how, like...
It sounds very familiar.
How, like, messed up it was.
Is that a vampire movie?
No. It's like a horror, like, Taiwanese horror movie.
Okay.
But, like, I... You know, like, there's, like, you know, those, like, movie pages, like, top 5 scary movies or whatever. And, like, you know, people kept talking about that one. Like, the Santa's like, this shit's fucked up. It's fucked up. And I was always saying, like, how bad could it be, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I could see why they would think that.
Oh, why? What's us?
It's, I guess it's, like, this, like a viral, like, one of those things. Like, people get infected. But they don't turn into zombies instead. They turn into, like, these, like, sadistic maniacs that they just, like, start killing everybody.
Okay.
And doing, like,
Kingsman type stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But with, like, you know, just torture and, like, rape and shit.
I didn't see the sadness, but I think I might have seen the parody of it.
Is there a parody for
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's a porno parody called The Fagness. It was gay porn I was watching. What the
fuck? I legit took you seriously. Damn it. I should have been more doubtful.
I shouldn't use that word, but that's the only thing I could rhyme with sadness. It doesn't even really rhyme, but
whatever. Well, if you change the spelling, nobody could get mad at you. I guess P-H.
So. P-H-A-G?
Pretty hot and gay, I don't know.
Okay.
Because isn't that P-H-A-T pretty hot and tempting?
Yeah, I guess like so, yeah. I remember that from...
What movie was that?
Babs?
Was that Babs?
I think so, with...
Hayden. It was Chris Tucker who said it. Like, I remember that.
Oh, then it wasn't Babs, then. Might have been,
Is that P-H-A-T?
Pretty hot and tempting. Woo? Woo? Jada Pinkett Smith?
Was she in that?
She was the main girl everyone was after in that movie. But I don't know if that was that movie. But
okay.
It was one of those like early, late 90s, mid 90s.
Gotcha, yeah.
So what you been up to, man?
Just working and twerking, minus the twerking.
I don't know when this will come out, but Tom's got another gig coming up next Friday.
Oh, nice.
I think it's somewhere in Orange County. I'll try to find the dates out, but I'll post it on Instagram.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but he's got a... Put it in my palm. He's opening up for a couple bands, so...
Oh, sweet.
Cool, man. He's becoming that all about that life, you know.
Nice,
which is it's cool, man. It's weird. I was just talking to somebody about this earlier about how, yeah, you know, I mean, we were doing that when we were kids, high school and post high school. You know, we were gigging and trying to get gigs where we can play house parties and little venues and
can't go wrong with house parties either. Yeah,
and it became a thing. It was in the scene, you know, and we knew other bands were playing and we get on their shows. And
that's cool. That's a great networking.
That's how you network, right? Yep. And you become friends with this other band that plays and they have an open spot. They need to play. Downfall's playing or whatever. So they slot you in and then like, oh, okay, cool. And then eventually we were doing that for other bands. I remember we had this, I remember this band called Suppository Fun. They were really funny.
That does sound familiar. Was it like two?
Yeah.
Showed me that.
And we put them on one of our gigs. And, you know, like, it's like, it becomes a thing, that whole, it's subculture, right?
Right, right.
You know, and if you're in the scene and if you're into the whole, like there was a whole L.A. Long Beach for us more specifically, but we did L.A. shows as well, but mostly all backyard gigs, mostly all that.
Right, right.
Sometimes venues, but, like, yeah, every weekend there was a new house party and you had some bands playing and you'd see, oh, I saw them at the other one and... Oh, cool. You know, let's check them out. And
right.
It's interesting to become part of that where, like, oh, yeah, I've seen it. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And out of all those bands, like, maybe one of them might put out a record. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody kind of gets bit, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Like, cool, when one of us makes it, we all make it.
It's just cool. The scene was cool, and you do that for a few years until either he dies out or you become something, you know, or people get regular jobs or people have kids. So you have to become like a dad, you know. But it's cool that Tom's in this world now, and it's funny because it's familiar, like
right.
Like I get it, and I get how he's getting the shows, and he has friends, and you know he's playing late, and everything he's putting out, he's putting it online. So that's a little different because that wasn't really relevant for us when we were
as much. It was just kind of word of mouth, and
our version of that was we'd record a live CD or a regular CD, and we just hand them out every show.
Okay.
Remember how that was? Like, we'd have a bunch of CDs.
Burn CDs,
CDs.
Yeah.
And every show we play, we give them out, and here's our couple of our songs if you guys just want to listen to it, right? Now it's just YouTube. Just straight to YouTube. Easier for everybody to consume, that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, just like a QR code or something. Right. Just, like, put it everywhere, right. And people are like, oh, what's this?
Check it out. You might build your little crowd scene like that, you know? But it's cool. I don't know. It's obviously like a proud dad moment, but it's also cool to see him going to these steps and on his own, really, because it's not like the Deep Piazza gig, it's not like I got him that gig, you know? I knew we used to play there back in the day, but it's all, hit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, like, overshadowing him and making sure he...
Right.
It's not nepotism, I guess is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
It's not nepotism. I just see him doing his thing on his own, And it's cool that, like, man, I remember being in your shoes, you know, what, 20 years ago, whatever the fuck, you know? So it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's a weird feeling, man. Honestly, it is weird. Yeah.
But it's like a, I don't know, like a good kind of weird.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great kind of weird. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe surreal, is that like a way to put it?
Surreal is definitely a word that I've used before to describe how, like, surreal is how I felt watching him play on the same stage I was playing. At DiPiazza's, right?
Right.
Like, because I have pictures from those gigs, and I remember being on in that stage in that same pose, or the same, you know, where he was doing, we were doing the exact same thing, and it was just like, oh, shit. I think we might have even played Sunday morning. It's with maybe. The one with the Claudia, right? I think we should do Sunday morning.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just thinking about that show that we went down towards, like, San Diego or whatever.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Do you remember that? Like, it just popped into my head the other day.
Mono showed up at that one because he had been to that bar.
Camp Pendleton.
Very near to the MCRD, I'd say, Camp Pendleton. That show was really cool because I remember that was one of our first shows that we had where we didn't know almost anybody from the crowd.
Right, because...
That was a show that... It was out of our... I don't remember how we got the gig, but we got the gig.
I was trying to figure that out.
I remember we got the gig, and it was something where we showed up and played, and people were into the music that we didn't know. Because usually there's a lot of things like, oh, yeah, we know that in there. But this was the thing that we were doing the thing, and people were into the music, and it was nobody we knew. So it was like strangers, like, legitimately into us. And I was like, hey, man, that's fucking cool. That was one of my favorite, very memorable show for me.
For sure.
Yeah. That was a cool band that we had when Claudia was a singer. I think that was our first... No. Like, our second time where we had a girl singer.
Yeah.
Right, because before that was Veronica, right?
Vero and Lucia. That
didn't really work out as well.
I don't think it stood the test of time, you know. I think it was cool for, like, a little bit, but...
Yeah, we did a couple of house parties that were okay.
Yeah.
But definitely, something clicked when Claudia became the singer.
Yeah. That was a cool one.
And I remember the way we found her was at a legit, like, a karaoke bar. And Bottoms Up.
Bottoms Up, the one in Buffalo.
And it was, like, a karaoke night, and she was doing, I think, a No Doubt song or something like that.
I want to say it was Amy. I think she was doing Amy Winehouse.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Amy Winehouse. I think that's why it stuck out.
And then I remember being like, I think I remember telling Jackie, come with me because it's going to look like I'm hitting on her. Because Jackie was with us, and I was like, babe, I remember this because I said, like, hey, come with me, babe, because it's going to look like I'm fucking one of those guys
like
trying to hit on her.
Like a creeper or something.
Looks like I'm trying to hit on her, and like, oh, I have a quote unquote band. You want to come up, you know, practice with
right,
me?
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah. But she ended up, like, auditioning. I guess, yeah.
That was the audition, yeah. I guess, in a way, you know?
But she ended up agreeing. But I do remember I went to pick her up to bring her to the garage when we used to park in the garage. And her brother came out to try to, like, oh, what's up? Like, see what's up. And it was very funny, like, oh, it's cool, dude. Like,
you know, right.
I'm not trying to, like, whatever. Like, no, we're in a band. Yeah, we have, you know, you could look us up.
Like,
you know,
some, like, fishy stuff going on.
Yeah,
like,
But, yeah, do you remember those are fun times. Those are a couple years, right? We did that?
Couple.
Like 2-3 years, right? Something like that.
Like, from, like, I guess start to finish or whatever. Yeah. And then, yeah. Just about, yeah.
A lot of cool house parties, a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, that was cool.
That was a fun one. It's cool having a girl singer.
Yeah,
I do a lot of those other songs.
I think I was talking to Gwen about this, but, like, I want to say 80, maybe 85% of the stuff I have downloaded, like, bought on iTunes is all girl singers.
Nice.
Unintentionally, just like, oh, I never realized this.
You know? Right, it wasn't, like, a gender thing. It was just because... Fucking love it. It's just great music.
Yeah,
great,
like, musicians. I think I can count, like, on one hand, like, then, like, maybe ICP, Rage, and Deftones, maybe.
Wheeler.
Yeah, Rod Stewart, maybe that. I think that's about it. Everything else is all, like, obviously, you know, No Doubt, Fiona Apple, Tori Amos. All girl shit, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's weird.
It is what it is. Has she put it on anything, like, recently? Fiona?
She has a new, like, coming out in April, but she has a new track that she did with somebody called Collab, but not on her own album.
Oh, gotcha.
Not since the pandemic, which was 2-3 years ago. The last album she did, Vegetable Cutters, I think was 2019 or 20.
Oh, gotcha. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Do you remember, it was like those, like, random Instagram accounts? There was one that's called Capybara Album Covers?
No.
Where it takes, because I remember I sent a picture to the group chat. It was like a while back. But it was just, like, all these, like, famous covers, but instead, like, somebody just, like, photoshopped capybaras on it.
Really?
So, like, it'd be, like, never mind, but instead of the baby, it'd be, like, a capybara, you know? But I remember they did one, it was the Bowl Cutters, but instead of, like, Fiona Apple's face,
yeah,
it was the fucking capybara.
That's pretty funny.
I was like, oh, wait, I gotta send this, I gotta throw this in the group chat. It's just like, I don't even know like who would think to do something like that, but it's
okay, I'm not sure. I think we missed the whole Chris Farley bit.
Damn.
Let's just start from the Chris Farley, right? What were we talking about, Chris Farley?
Chris Farley, yeah. But how do we lead into Chris Farley?
Yeah, how do we lead into it?
Shit. Did you start recording
already? Yeah, we're recording, okay. Yeah.
Oh, fuck it.
I think we're talking about, like, fuck, what was it? How did it come up? I know I said something about, like, I know he starred in about 4 films.
Right, like as a featured actor, like the lead
but
actor.
But his supporting roles were always, he was always the funniest in his supporting roles.
Right, like he.
Whenever he, like, he's on screen, yeah. So obviously show, it was Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, Beverly Hills Ninja, and Almost Heroes. Yeah, and then he was supposed to be Shrek.
That's true.
So that would have been 5 right there. But like I said, like in Dirty Work, Coneheads, Wayne's World, Airheads.
Mm-hmm.
He was always like the funniest part of those films.
Right.
You know, anytime, whatever. I know we got really depressed, like talking about his,
oh,
like,
yeah,
his
like, death. Funny stuff, and yeah, it's like, yeah. Like, the, I don't remember the name of the song, but the one that Adam Sandler wrote about him.
That's
like,
a great, yeah.
Like the SNL performance and like his concert performance.
Yeah.
Like those two, like, fuck. Like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Oh, and Happy Gilmore, that's the other great. Yeah, he's the bus driver on that one. But it's weird, like, how to explain it? Like, you can't believe they're gone, almost? Like, dude,
right.
This guy's legitimately fucking... I feel the same way about Norm MacDonald.
Oh, right.
You know, they were all in Happy Gilmore together. I mean, Billy Madison together, but, Bus Driver, I said Bus Driver and Happy Gilmore. I meant Bus Driver and Billy Madison. Before I get, like, angry fucking, like, you know, whatever.
Like, no!
You fucked up, man! Like, oh, no shit, bro. I'm, like, 8 beers in, dude. What are you talking
about? Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, like, who's dead? Like, okay, so, right now, off the top of my head, I'm saying Norm MacDonald, Robin Williams, and Chris Farley. Off the top of my head, dead comedians who legitimately will be, like, the world is less funny because they're not in this.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's true contributions to humanity as far as in the comedy world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Top off, can you think of anybody else? And
that
don't mean like died of old age.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
gone too soon.
Time.
Like the whole
yeah, before their time, yeah.
Comedians. Those are pretty good ones.
Yeah, right? Like, that's the first thing that popped in my head. Robin Williams, Norm MacDonald, and Chris Farley.
Because, I mean, there's, like, great comedians, you know, you have, like your George Carlin,
right,
or whatever.
Richard Pryor, even, like, John Belushi, but he didn't strike me. Yeah, I'm sad he's gone, but Blues Brothers is one of my favorite movies, but I'm not, like, that doesn't sound like a dick, but how much did, the world's not missing a contribution to, you know, the
right.
comedy world, but I legitimately feel, oh, you know who, Greg Giraldo. Did you ever get a chance to get into him?
Just like from the Comedy
roast?
Central roast.
He used to write a lot of that stuff, but he was always his stuff was really, really funny. I think that's one of the ones that, like, died way too soon. Patrice O'Neill is another one. So if you Google, Mitch Hedberg. Yeah, if you Google, man, that's good. Those are good. Google Mitch Hedberg, Google Patrice O'Neill, and Greg Giraldo on, like, best of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think you'll agree. I think anybody at home listening will agree that, like, oh my God, like, who are these people? Like, wow. Yeah, we need more of this shit, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. They're, like, the last, especially Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
Like, one of the last real ones. I mean, we have, like, Dave Chappelle nowadays, like, thankfully, you know?
Yeah,
he's still with us, but, like, Patrice O'Neill is, like, one of the, like, who's, wasn't he, like, a mentor to, like, Bill Burr?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like
right,
a mentor,
yeah.
Because he always, like, spoke very highly of him, like.
And Louis too. I mean, they were all kind of in that scene. Because
right.
they kind of all came up together. They were in that
gotcha.
Same generation. You know who I hear about? That I've seen his stand-up, and I agree, it's really, really funny. But I've always heard other comedians talking about how funny Freddie Prinze was. Did you ever get a chance to see Freddie Prinze?
Just, like, little random clips. Like, I think, like, it might have been, like, a documentary or something.
Like, obviously, you know, he made his... bones with the Welcome Back Carter show.
Mm-hmm.
But he started at the Comedy Store in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he, you know, what's her face? Pauly Shore's mom, Mitzi Shore, set him through. But he was super young when he started comedy, like in his teens. And he died like at 22, 23. Like, he was super fucking like a kid. Like, I think even what's his face, Freddie Prinze Jr., who's probably more known now, you know, from the greatest movie of all time, She's All That.
That's a great one.
That's actually, I do like that movie. I don't know why I said it, you know, superfluous, but I do like that film. But I think he was like a teenager when he had his, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was a teenage dad.
Right.
Stuff, yeah. But Freddie, I've seen his stand-up, and it is really good. Even, you know how 70s is outdated stuff?
Right.
It still hits, man. Huh. Yeah. Like, give him a chance if you ever check him out.
I'll have to listen to him for sure.
Yeah. But like I said, but I don't know enough about him to put him in the previous category that I just said. Yeah. Of greats that we missed out on.
At least honorable mention.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who else would you put that, like, a comedian we lost before our time?
Comedian. I guess it wouldn't be like... Yeah, because I think,
or
like, yeah,
like... Like, comic actor or someone who you think is funny actor-wise that died. Or if you want to broaden the spectrum, yeah, like, let's go actors who were really, really good. Like Anton Melchin?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought he was a really good actor, and he died very young, you know, that whole thing.
I like Green Room a lot.
Yeah, he's really good in that. Yeah, that's a good movie. That's an underrated movie. It's almost a horror movie.
I think it is. I think it's supposed to be a horror movie. It's
borderline.
It's like, yeesh. Fuck.
Okay, so to make it easier, anybody, like Amy Winehouse, right? That's an easy go-to. I think that's someone who we lost something. We could have had so much more.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean? Yeah. I think she's a contribution to, like, the arts, right? I guess anybody from the 27 Club, I guess.
Like, honestly, was she 27 too?
Yeah, she was, yeah. Oh, but I'm saying, like, yeah, I guess that would apply to Hendrix and fucking Jim Morrison and all that, right? Huh, Janis Joplin. Yeah. I guess.
Like, yeah, for me, a go-to is, like, always Anthony Bourdain. Because, like...
Oh, but he's old as hell. He gave us so much. I was watching some stuff with him... Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I don't know if it was before his time. Right? Yeah, I was going to say, because he gave us so much material.
But, I mean, he really didn't get famous until, like, 45.
Yeah.
45 and after, that's when he was actually somebody.
In my culinary school, we all knew about him. We all knew who he was. I did not go to chef school, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just joking.
Oh, man. Honestly, I thought you were going to bust out with, like, CIA. Because, like, he went to the CIA, but sure. It's, like, the Culinary Institute of America, whatever. Because, I don't know, because, like, he talks about it. It just seems kind of funny. I thought for some reason you were going to make a bit about the CIA and you got assassinated. I don't know why, man. It just really caught me off guard.
We knew who he was in chef school. Nobody knows. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue your joke. No, but that's more of a personal thing, right? Because he was more of a personal hero to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he was old, obviously. He's like early 60s, I think.
Yeah, when he passed 61, 62, I think. So, I mean, yeah.
Who else do you think was there a young chef that died? You know,
young chef? I mean, because it's not like I was even to, like, have a thing for, like in the cooking. Culinary field, yeah, or right, anything, right. You know. Well, they were just good shows. I'm trying to think of, like, actors. It shouldn't be, like, it should be, like, a musician, but... I mean, as far as, like, the main ones...
Oh, like, I think, like, you know, we're going to act like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh,
he's, man, anything he was in, I would, like, man, this guy's a fucking... I'd always be so impressed with anything he was in.
Like, I was thinking about Long Came Polly the other day. Like, I need to watch that movie.
He's so good in that, dude. Like, I'm telling you, I think I've mentioned before, but I want to see a cut of that film, Along Came Polly, with only Philip Seymour Hoffman's, like, parts in it.
Oh, right.
So, like, a 20-minute version of that movie with only...
Just, like, his parts?
Very funny. He's very funny. And that came out of nowhere, because he wasn't really known for doing those type of roles, right?
But, yeah, it was like, oh, it's just, like, a supporting role. Right. He's just, like, getting it throughout, but it's, like, every time he's on stage, on screen.
Like, the basketball scene is very funny. It's like swish, or like in the way, and then he misses every shot.
Right, like every single one. It's like not even barely, like it's like way off.
Yeah, but he's just so confident.
But he's like just like trash talking like the random people there. And he keeps fucking up, but like in his mind, it's like he's kicking ass the whole time. Yeah. Or Rain Dance, and he just kept saying like all this random shit.
Yeah, that movie's not good, but he is very good in
that. I like that movie.
He makes it tolerable, man. Yeah.
Yeah, like say like he like if he what like his character was not in that movie,
yeah,
would it probably, like that movie? It probably wouldn't hit the same way. Not thinking about that, because it's almost like yeah, like it's okay, like the movie's okay, but like because he's in it, it kind of like I don't know, like all that awesomeness just from like his role, it kind of like
Well, I think it just balances out, like, because every time you're kind of like, because the story kind of sucks, and Ben Stiller's not really that cool guy in this movie either. He's not the protagonist you want to root for. You kind
of
feel bad.
He never really
for...
is, though, like, in a lot of his movies.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's actually kind of like, he's kind of a jerk sometimes. Like, in that film, what's the one where he's, like, married to the wrong woman? I forgot.
The which
one? He, like, marries somebody and then changes his mind last minute.
Was that a comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Flirting with Disaster.
No.
Wasn't that one?
Uh-uh. They're like in Mexico at a resort in Mexico.
Oh, shit.
Fuck, I forgot the name of it.
With, Malin Ackerman.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the main one. Is it a fairly
bad Heartbreak Kid.
Heartbreak Kid, thank you. Yeah, like that movie, like, he's not a protagonist you want to root for.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know, like, almost like BoJack kind of activities.
Sure. Well, just...
Because he's kind of...
I think the problem I have with him in that film is, like, he's trying to portray, like, he's a nice guy, just kind of getting a shaft in the stick, but he's really making some bad decisions that are hurting other people's feelings.
And he doesn't want... It's just a lack of accountability.
Yes, it is.
It's the lack of accountability. That's what it is.
Yeah, and a lot of his films... Yeah, you're right. A lot of his films aren't like that, yeah.
Where he, you know, like...
He's kind of a jerk that doesn't know he's a jerk type of character, or doesn't...
Or he doesn't, like, care to acknowledge that he is.
Right.
It's like everybody else. Like Greenberg, for example.
Uh-huh, sure.
Which I really like. Greta Gerwig, you know, she's awesome.
I've seen every movie she's done and every movie she's acted in, yeah. Because it's not a lot. I say that like it's a big thing. She's got like 10 films.
Yeah, got a few.
Yeah.
Like Frances?
I gave it to you. That's good.
But, like in that movie, I guess like he's supposed to have like some kind of, like, I don't know. I don't know if you call it like a mental like condition. I don't know.
Yeah. Like well, it's Asperger's, really. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. But it's like when you think about it, like he's kind of like that in a lot of movies. Like it's not like a huge leap from things that he's done. You know, I think maybe like besides like Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I think it's probably like his milder Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like in a lot of movies, it's just kind of like oh.
Well, you know, that but that just happens to be a film where the antagonists are way more like Adam Scott's the kind of the villain in that one.
Right,
he's
right.
Super douchey in that one.
Yeah, he takes it up a notch. Yeah. Plays a good douchebag. Yeah.
I do like that. That's actually a movie I revisit every year.
Hmm?
Are there any like movies or shows that you revisit every year?
That one, like it's like every couple of years, just because I want to keep it fresh. Because that one made it on my top five of all time. You know,
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah.
Right.
But let's see. Maybe 500 Days of Summer. Like I'll throw it on like every once in a blue moon.
That one diminished for me.
Oh really?
I was just talking to a buddy of mine from work, buddy Chris actually, but about how like Sons of Anarchy, I've been rewatching them and they just diminished for me. Like the first four seasons are still pretty good, but everything like Breaking Bad, I still rewatch it and still fucking excellent.
Yeah, that one's not better, yeah, you know? For sure.
But Sons, I used to really like the show, and then now it's like fucking corny and cheesy, and it's like, it doesn't hit for me the same way it used to hit for me. And is that a way of us as people just growing in maturity and you don't find the same things as attractive anymore, or?
Maybe there might be a component to that. Well, because I haven't seen it, so I can't really like weigh in, you know, but like.
But do you have a show like that that you keep rewatching and now it's like not as good as you remember it, or it's kind of sad?
Like, if there's any show that I rewatch, it's because I really like it, or, you know, like, King of the Hill is, like, always an easy go-to.
No, that gets better with age.
You know, like, some of, like, high-caliber ones.
That's a yearly show for me that I do as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I always watch it every now and then, like, no matter what season, what episode, it's like, okay, this is a good one, you know?
You know, cartoon-wise, it's like, Rick and Morty, BoJack, and King of the Hill are the ones I go to for animation, that I, like, it's in my queue. Yeah, you know what? I'm sad that it's no longer Simpsons.
Yeah, it's like
with the exception of the Halloween episodes, I still do those.
Was it in I think it might have been like one of the video essays that you sent me. Yeah. Where like I want to say it was like the last one that you sent me about the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Where it kind of breaks down like when it got bad and why it got bad and like.
Oh, and South Park. I forgot to mention South Park. But yeah, that's another.
Yeah, that one never lost its thing.
Nope. And I told you my theory on it. Like, it's because I think between South Park and Always Sunny, they still have the original creators attached to it. still involved in the creative process.
Right.
They're not just producers or executive producers and sit back and let other writers do things. They're the original credits from the beginning are still the same creators now, and I think that's that has to be a factor into why these shows have sustained in their longevity. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Well, yeah, what were we saying about the video essay for The Simpsons?
No, where, like, he's talking about, like, you know, pretty much, like, when it started to diminish. And where, like, you know, because I remember they, like, because I mentioned to you, like, I went through, like, the whole series. Just because I wanted to see what it was all about.
Is it, like, 30 seasons?
And it just got worse and worse. It was.
But it didn't come back to you anymore? Because I see some episodes, newer episodes, and they're like, oh, this isn't as bad as I remember. I'm not saying it'll never get to the original glory. That's not happening.
Right.
But they're not as bad as bad it's been.
Like, I'll say that I've watched, like, episodes where, like, oh, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
That's, like, okay, that's, like, almost, like, it almost, like, pulls you, almost, like, pull me back in. Where it's, like, oh, okay, yeah, that's, like, that's definitely, like, classic Homer. Like, that's a fucking great bit, mm-hmm. whatever, you know. But it's really jokes, and for me, it was just still pretty far, few and far between. Where it's, like, oh, man, they're not even trying. Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I was watching, I forgot what it was, but. It was the episode with,
Okay, what were you saying about Duncan the horse? Right. The Simpsons thing?
It was, and, like, the guy was saying how that was, like, the first, like, one of, like, the first episodes.
Yeah.
Where, like, and it's meant specifically outside of, like, the Halloween episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the storylines is just kind of all over the place. Like, it doesn't really, like, it's, like, crazy shit happening in, like, Simpsons world.
Sure.
But this was, like, I think he said, like, it was, like, the first time that there was, like, a regular Simpsons episode. Where somehow they're, like, in some, like, jockey, like, elf kind of, like, fantasy land where it's, like, super, like,
oh, yeah, I do remember this. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, it's part of, like almost leprechaunish type of underworld. They had their own separate universe type of thing.
It was just, like, something, like, super, like, just out there where, like, usually, you know, stuff like that's only reserved for, like, the
treehouse,
right? Halloween episodes, you know? But this is the first time where they did it in a regular episode. It just seems super random. It didn't really. It just kind of took in this direction where, like, I guess jockeys are a thing.
Yeah.
In some fantasy land. But it's like.
Yeah, it was like they treated jockeys as mythological creatures. It was weird, you know. I do remember that, yeah.
You know, and it got me thinking.
Bart was the jockey, right? And that's why they were mad at him because he wasn't, yeah.
But it was like, yeah, I never even thought of that. Because, like, throughout the series, you know, it just kind of gets. It's just all over the place. And, you know, throughout the series, you know, like in the later episodes. They would have, like, random, like, callbacks, I forgot what the episode was, but Homer's, like, driving, like, in the desert or something, and he's, like, passing, like, some stores, and one of them was, like, a tobacco store.
Tobacco.
But it was just, like, you know, just barely, like, you just missed it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, like, what's that, is that supposed to, like, satiate, like, people that know what the hell that is?
Yeah.
I don't know, man, it just, like. I was just kind of like, there were, like, my arms crossed, you know, like, watching the series.
It's kind of like what the Marvel Universe is now. You know, because the films have diminished so much.
I haven't seen, like, a lot of
new No, I'm sure. But for everybody, you know, it's just, like, one of those things where, because the boxes keep diminishing, they're not as good as they used to be. They basically peaked at Infinity War, right? And then ever since then, it's kind of been downhill. And now they're just making references like, oh, remember this? You know, nostalgia. They're baiting you with nostalgia shit. Gotcha. And that's kind of seems what's going on with The Simpsons as well.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like, so they don't even have to try. It's like,
right.
Oh, remember this? Kind of like what Dumb and Dumber 2 did to the first one. It's like,
that's pretty
sad. Remember this? This was funny, right?
Just saw a video essay today on Zoolander 2, and they were talking about the same thing, and they brought up Dumb and Dumber 2, and it was the same thing where, like, they're getting off on old jokes, recycled jokes, not retired jokes, but recycled jokes, and how it doesn't, like, you can see through the veil. It's a clear thing, like, You're selling me this, and it's not this, and you're not, like, it's not gonna, no, it's not funny. Yeah, it's kind of sad, man. It's kind of sad. Because it doesn't ruin your childhood, I won't say that, but it's almost, but it does taint a legacy, like, this could have been so good, you know, taint a legacy, yeah. This was so good, and I remember it as is, and now you're just doing it to, because like, if you make a Blank Man too. Oh, come on, guys. You know, the whole thing, yeah.
Right.
If you're going to do that, I have nothing against something being revived and making a good version of something new, but just don't fucking cheap out on it and get by on the fact that it's just like, oh, everybody's going to come and see this. No, make a good movie first and then worry about, like, oh, you know, IPs or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good, like, has there been a good sequel? Oh, Tron, maybe? I don't know. I really like the Tron sequel.
I haven't seen
it. Oh, it's pretty good. And it's like a 20, 30-year follow-up to a film, you know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, is there a film where it's, like, trying to get by on legacy, and but it happens to be good?
But it happens to be good. I know we were talking about Trainspotting too, which
That's a good example. Yeah,
you know, like there were like some really good scenes. Like,
I'll give you a bad that came out the same year as Trainspotting 2, Independence Day 2 was not good, and that's kind of more what we're talking about.
What was Independence Day 2? I completely forgot about
it's it. Will Smith's not in it, but it's not in, and that still doesn't make the movie even better. Like, no, it's good. I've seen it. It's not, but I remember. Your specific expression when we were watching, because we watched that together, Independence Day, right? The first one?
Oh, right.
Oh, awestruck, right? Most of the movie, you're like, oh, shit, this is amazing, right?
Fucking cool, right?
Independence Day 2 is such a fucking letdown. It's incredibly, like, I don't want to use the R word. It's boring and ridiculous. I'll say that for the R. It's just like, this is not, who are you trying to fool with this? It doesn't make sense. It's not good. Jeff Goldblum's in it, and he's not even he can make this good. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a shame. It is. It is, yeah.
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Bill Pullman comes back at it.
Wait, I'm trying to think. Did I watch it?
One of the Hemsworth brothers is in it.
Like, what was the plot? Like, maybe that'll kind of jog.
So, allegedly, the first Independence Day was just, like, a scouting. So the actual four Mata comes on the second one, and you're trying to figure, and there's like a mother alien now. It's giant that's trying to like, it's, I don't know. It's just,
yeah. Maybe
and we had like reverse their technology. So we have now like spaceships type things stuff like that. It's just, it's more like in the realm of Pacific Rim than it is Independence Day. It just doesn't feel the same. Yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of like a restaurant that you're used to, but it's like under new management, and it's like the same restaurant, but it's not a lot of.
They use the same words for like the meals, but they taste way different because it's cheaper cheaper ingredients, and you can tell, and you can fucking tell, dude. Yeah,
right.
And the staff is rude. They're like, oh, you're not like, let's say, you know, the name is like Jackie, whatever. The witch is Jackie, but now it's like, oh, this, you're not the same Jackie.
Jaqueline.
Just like, what the fuck? Fuck you! You know that whole thing. You know,
right.
Yeah,
that was the way to put it.
Yeah, very disappointing. But you know, like I said, legacy sequels, they call them, right? Like, you know, Trainspotting 2 was good. You know,
I thought it was great. Like, I was surprised. Just like you know, try to be unbiased. You know, I didn't want to like it just because I have to like it. You know, but like watching it, like, fuck, dude, this shit's all, even like his. Because, you know, he did, like, another, like, choose life, like, little monologue thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even that one was, like, really good. Like, I was impressed. I thought, like, oh, man, they're just trying to, like, you know, just reach, like, the stuff they did before. But, like, hey, man, it was still pretty good. It was, like, an updated version of that.
What's another one that, like, quote-unquote legacy that, that held up? That, like, oh, shit, this is a good one, yeah.
That one was good, Has there been anything like that?
Would you consider the Jurassic Worlds pretty good or no?
I haven't seen, like, Dominion.
I've seen it. That's the third one.
I guess the most recent one?
Yeah, I saw it was okay. That's the one where all three of them come back. All three for the original come back. It was okay. But it's... The plot didn't make sense.
What was it about? I guess what was it?
More about locusts and dinosaurs.
So it was, like, very biblical? Is that what it is?
No, Engine. They basically, like, designed locusts so they eat other people's crops other than their own. So they kind of create, like, a famine where they're the only food supply in the country.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a get-rich-quick scheme on a corporate level, global corporate level. Mm. But it's like, why is this a plot to a fucking dinosaur movie? Like, dude, keep it simple, stupid. You know, this is fucking dinosaurs. And that's what we care about. Why are you doing this corporate espionage nonsense? Like, it doesn't... yeah. It was not good. But it was good to see the original, you know...
Yeah.
Heroes all together,
you know? At least be worth it.
Yeah, that... Like I said, I enjoyed parts of it. Definitely did. But the plot... I did not like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even the new people that are in it, I like, you know, I like Chris Pratt, I like
Bryce
Dallas Howard, yeah. Yeah.
He's good too. I like, was it Jurassic World 2? Huh? Was that the one? That one was great.
That's the one where Alan.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
That's from Jurassic Park 3, yeah. I'm a huge Sam Elliott fan. Nope. Sam Neill fan. Sam Elliott, too, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, what's a... I'll tell you what legacy sequels are amazing. The Tremors ones.
Oh, man.
All fucking hits.
You know, that's a trip, you know, just because, I mean, yeah, like, even the second one was not like it was a big budget one, but
nah,
it was
fun.
I think it was a great follow-up.
Yeah, hell yeah. The third one was great, too. I'm telling you, all of them have been good.
Because really I haven't seen the Western one. That's the one I haven't
That's
the
prequel yet. One. Yeah.
Was it the Ass Blasters? Is that the
Ass Blasters? Ass Blasters is the third one.
So is that the Western one?
No. No, the third one still takes place in contemporary time. The Western is a prequel, so it's still the original monsters. Gotcha. Yeah, and then I think the fifth one is the Cold Day in Hell. They're like in Antarctica or something. Jamie Kennedy? Yeah. No. Jamie Kennedy is the fourth one. I'm mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, I'm mistaken because Jamie Kennedy came out on the fourth one. Yeah.
Hmm.
And I just don't remember the name of it, but he was good too. I liked that. That was a good movie. Yeah.
Because I guess like. Burt has this, like, little web series or whatever.
Yeah. That might be the third one. I'm getting all these mixed up.
No. Because at this point, like, yeah, so many. But I think it's very unique, and, like, I don't think it's, like, it doesn't really matter if it's supposed to be, like, this huge thing. Or,
sure, of course.
It's just about fucking Tremors, and somehow they're enjoyable. I don't know what it is about it where...
Because they're better, like, you know, sci-fi monster movies are... Like, the Sharknadoes are enjoyable, too. But those are way... Why does it feel like those are more campy than the Tremors? Like, why do Tremors feel more real? I don't know why.
Interesting.
Do you agree or no?
I can see what your train of thought.
Because, like, the Anaconda movies are not very well. Well, that's the first one, yeah. But I'm saying, like, the sci-fi movies type... These are all, you know, sci-fi channel type movies,
for sure,
right?
For sure.
The Tremor ones feel a little different than all the other ones. Am I wrong on saying that? Or
what? No, totally. Right? But I don't know if there's like a component where it's just like so familiar because of like since the first one.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
But even then, like they're still, I don't know what about it makes it like good where, yeah, it's like a little out there and maybe like even the special effects aren't like super great. But it's like they're still like where you could like still kind of lose yourself in it without like being like too judgy, you know?
I wonder if it's like the fact that like we could see ourselves in these situations,
could be
right because I can't necessarily see myself in the Anaconda situation or the Sharknado situation.
Right.
But the Tremor situation are barely like realism. Like it's right there. We're like
this whatever could pop, that border yeah. is that cusp.
Yeah, this could happen. Okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's right there.
We're the desert or something.
It's sure, like, hey, there could sure. Be we don't know. Okay. We don't know. You know. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. I wonder if that's why.
Huh. Could be, I don't know. Yeah. I think it would like probably like a little like you know delving into it, or maybe like you know processing things on. I'm sure there is something to that. Or like I guess that tends to real, or maybe not. It could be like somewhere between like realism or it's not too out there,
right?
Like it's not too far fetched where it's like okay, yeah, that's like something.
Right.
This
right,
is
right.
Almost like where it's just like almost potentially real and not too crazy far out. We're just like a little Venn diagram where it just barely meets.
Yeah, it touches the... Yeah, yeah. You know,
something like that.
Maybe, yeah. That's funny.
That's a good one.
Going back to legacy sequels, is there anyone you got?
I don't know, Beethoven?
No,
I don't really remember them, to be honest.
But they're not legacy sequels. They're not something that came out 10, 20 years later.
Mm.
Like, I would consider it like...
Home Alone? Even 10?
They're not good though.
Yeah.
Did you see the latest Home Alone? The one that came out last year?
No.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. So, no. That's a legacy sequel. It's not good. But you know the third one with the kid from Liar Liar? That's mm-hmm. what you're talking about, right?
I think that's the third one. Yeah.
Little known about that is it was actually written and directed by John Hughes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I think he wrote it. I don't know if he directed it. Actually, let me double check that. But yeah, it's the same writer director as the first one.
Oh, there is no Sherman, Illinois.
That's funny. Movies are fucking bullshit, man.
Did you? Because I remember like telling you about it. Did you ever see the documentary, the John Hughes one?
No, I think Tommy and Gwen saw it and they were telling me about
they
it.
Did?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
They were telling me about it. Why?
Because it's great, dude. It's so
like why he disappeared.
Because it, like, I don't know, it almost gives them this, like, well, like, kind of like this, like, Willy Wonka kind of mythology to him, where it's, like, it's kind of like whispers, nobody really knows what happens, but he's still kind of, like, working behind the scenes.
Yeah, he did a 2006 Home Alone.
John Hughes, huh?
Yeah.
We really talked about it.
And then Home Alone 3, written by, he wrote Home Alone 3, yeah, in 1997. He wrote Flubber? I didn't know that. What the fuck?
Flubber?
He wrote Flubber? And 101 Dalmatians. Oh, he wrote Baby Day. Yeah, I love that movie.
Oh,
I don't know he wrote it. Yeah, and he wrote the Beethoven movies, too. And Dennis the Menace. Huh.
Interesting. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, it's like he's like still doing all this shit behind the scenes, but nobody really knows, like, outside of, like, you know, his cast and crew. Whatever.
Right, right, right.
Which is kind of cool. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. Who's your favorite writer-director?
Writer-director? Quinn, maybe?
I think so, me too, yeah.
That'd be a good... But between I don't know if that's a
Quinn and Kevin Smith, yeah.
Oh, Kevin Smith, that's a good one, too. Writer-director? Louis C.K.?
He did, like, one movie, dude. Yeah, I was gonna, and it was... Didn't it not get released? Because of the controversy?
What, Pootie Tang?
Oh, you're thinking Pootie Tang. No, I was thinking of the one he did with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Which one?
It never got released because it came out, or it was going to come out right around the controversy when it came out about the sexual allegations. Yeah.
Ah,
damn,
what a shit.
Yeah. Him too? What was that like? Oh, we should have called. I got a joke here somewhere.
All
right. It's like a ancient Roman like movement. Where, like, it's, like, the... Instead of the Me Too moment, it's the Brutus... Et tu, Brutus?
That's fucking funny, man.
Et tu, movement. Et tu, movement.
We said, like, hashtag, yeah. They chisel it into,
hashtag
like...
Hashtag et tu, yeah.
To, like, stone and shit. That's
et
funny.
Et tu,
et tu. That's pretty funny.
Sound like that, right? Part of the etu movement. Oh yeah, he got etude. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Etude.
That's part of the etude movement.
That's a, what do you call it? Is that a colloquialism?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Etude. You got etude. Yeah, me too. Like him too. Also,
no, not me too. Etude. Oh shit, no, bro.
It's like a who's on first. It could be like a who's
right.
on first type of bit.
Right, right.
Hey, and you can go all sorts of ways with that. That's pretty good.
That's funny, dude.
What did I say? Fucking Beethoven. I don't even remember Beethoven. I guess The Sandlot? Because I think they made a couple of those, but I never saw any of these.
Yeah, that would be one. The second one was not good. I'm trying to think of something recently, though.
Something that came out... Doom? But is that more of a remake, though, right?
No, that's a remake, yeah. And I heard they're really good. I want to see them. I want to see them. I did like the original. David Lynch's one, yeah.
More than Eraserhead?
Tommy showed me Eraserhead, and I thought it was okay. Actually, that's a really good, like, first film. I could see that, yeah. But out of all his, obviously, you know, Lost Highway is my favorite one.
For sure, absolutely.
But I did like, Blue Velvet. I thought that was a great film. Most of it just because Dennis Hopper's fucking ridiculous, but in a great fucking way, you know what I mean?
Well, he's an easy writer, so.
Okay.
That's horrible.
That's your favorite writer-director, right there.
That'd be a good one, See, like, even Mulholland Drive, I really like.
Yeah, Mulholland Drive is really good too, yeah.
Soundtrack's free.
Who's on there? I bought Lost Highway, I think, had the best soundtrack.
Oh, right. Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just like that one scene where, like, that lady singing in the theater, like, there is no band, and she's just doing the a cappella
right.
Spanish version of crying. That was.
The Roy Orbison, right?
Yeah.
Go. Yeah, Robertson seems like he was created by David Lynch. It's weird, like, right? Doesn't he have that old school Americana type feel?
For sure, for sure.
Hmm.
He has a look, suit, dark sunglasses.
Yeah.
Wait, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, Lost Highway.
Talk about legacy sequels, and if like if there is any really good ones.
No, I guess that's.
What were you going to say?
Because I was thinking of, like, you know, like, when you have, like, a movie, and then you have, like, you know, the part two or something, like say X-Men. I don't know if that...
No, it doesn't count, yeah.
Still haven't seen the Dark Phoenix one.
I get it. It's not good. I think specifically what I'm looking for or thinking of is, like, something that was revised a decade later because of IP. and they want to make it a sequel right. for nostalgia factor, right? Let's bring in someone for the original.
Like, what do they call that?
Like The Craft. The Craft one that came out a couple years ago, that's like a legacy sequel. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha.
So that, and it wasn't, I heard it was not good, so. I didn't see it, so I got to be fair. I didn't see it, so it might be, but yeah. Like something like that. Like, I guess what if they made like a Labyrinth 2 right now or something like that, you know? That would be like, they really want to do this? Why? You know, who's this?
Right.
You know? Like, you know what I'd want to see them remake is Alf. I watch so much Alf on the weekends. It's so weird. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Maybe because it's on Roku, but I'm going through it and I'm like, I'm done with the first season. I think there's only 3 seasons, but I'm done with the first season already. So fucking funny. We just went through one where like Alf has a little crush on the older older daughter, and then he makes like a music video for her. Have you seen this one?
I don't think so.
It's called Out of This World. And he's like, out of this world, you are out of this world. But he's playing like different 80s pop stars. So he's recording this video, him playing all these different instruments. So you can tell there's a version of him that's Elton John. Okay. You can tell there's a version of him that's like Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. You know,
that's fucking funny.
The funniest one is that there's a version of him that's fucking Stevie Wonder.
What?
And he's doing the blind, like, with the sunglasses. He's doing the blind little face. With his little dread braids or whatever. Oh, it's my so God. Fucking funny. And the song is pretty catchy. Because it's like, out of this world, you're the one that's out of this. You know what? Let's do it. Let me look for it. I got to look for it on YouTube or something.
Oh, for sure.
Alf music. Let me record. I'm
trying to think, what are like those, like Mr. Belvedere, that's like another 80s show that, you know. Cause I think we used to watch that, like, a lot of those back in the day.
Absolutely. That's a fucking movie, yeah.
I think there was a show called Out of This World.
No, oh, yeah. There was a show that was with Eve. The daughter's name was Eve. She was half alien. The mom was a human, and the dad was an astronaut, but in reality was an alien. So, okay. And she could pause time. Do you remember this? That was one of her superpowers?
Maybe?
Yeah. It was a great show. I love the show. But it was in the same time as, like, Small Wonder. It came out of the same block. Like
yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. Yeah, I loved it.
Because, like, it's a, like, the super random thing. I don't know why I still remember it. But I guess, like, the daughter, the girl,
yeah,
like, she wanted to have a party, and she wanted to, like, hire a band.
Okay.
Now, I don't know who she's talking to. I don't know if it's, like, some producer person or something. He's like, hi, I'm wondering, how much would it cost to get 10,000 maniacs to perform at my party or something?
Oh, that's
like
funny,
that.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't really hear the conversation. It's like, hi, how much would it cost? He's like, how much for 5,000 maniacs?
That's
like,
funny. That's actually a really good joke.
That I've never forgotten. I don't know what the whole before and after thing
that's is. That's a good joke, actually, now that I think about it. Okay, so... It's 4 minutes long. I won't play the whole thing. I just want to play it for everybody at home. You can hear the amazing song. For you, I just want to see.
For sure.
So you see the Stevie Wonder disguise or outfit.
Yeah. Okay, sure. And in the morning, will you please call Scott?
And tell him I didn't mean any of those things I said. Will you tell him I didn't say them?
Get off my case, will you?
I have not begun to get on your case, mister. And if you think...
Dad.
Get off my case. Who does he think he is?
The robe, Willie, the robe.
Alf, can I see the video?
No.
Because he made it for her.
It's for Connie Chung.
Are you sure I can't see it?
Well, just once.
Real quick, Jackie thinks... Because I've been fortunate to watch it with me. Jackie thinks I got my whole personality from Alf, by the way. Now, I'm not even joking. She said that to me last week. Yeah.
No problem.
Alf, it's just a picture of the garage.
That's an establishing shot. Now pay attention.
So it fucking slaps, dude.
Nice.
Right? This is a guy looking like someone from Poison. There's Elton John, obviously. I don't know the drummer's name. Oh, Bruce Springsteen.
Take a look at me and tell me what you see. Just another pretty face. Some clown from out of the town who came to hang around and look a little out of place. You say you wonder what on earth I'm doing here. I'm only here to tell you, girl. I may be an unknown from the Twilight Zone,
think you're the one who's out of this world. You're the one who's out of this world. Hey, babe. You're the one who's out of this world. You're the one that got this one.
Tommy Lee, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. That's Stevie Wonder.
Oh shit.
Stevie Wonder.
That was pretty good, man.
Oh, ZZ Top, ZZ Top.
Oh shit.
Okay.
That's the thing. That was pretty funny, man. Right? That was good.
You're the one who's out of this world, sweet.
Dude, the song stops. Dude. It's a good
show. Good shit.
Good show, yeah.
That should be the new Susan Boots theme song.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, dude. I'm down with it. I don't know what we're talking about, but that's funny.
Ralph and...
We're about almost the hour mark. Any last minute things you wanted to hit up or talk about?
Pretty sure. Cause sometimes I thought there'd be something that, you know, something pops in your head, like, oh, I can bring that up on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Then now it's just like fucking complete blank.
That always happens to me, yeah.
Shit. Fuck, I got nothing. I thought I did, but.
What are you doing this weekend? Do anything?
I don't think so. As of yet, no, I don't think so.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come through for Gwen's dinner party.
Anybody tap the keg yet? I'll pump.
what's a teen drama that doesn't hold up for you? Like, for me, I was trying to rewatch American Pie, and I just like this movie. I don't like it.
Oh, real?
Yeah. It doesn't... These guys are rapists. I don't like these guys at all. Like,
right.
It just doesn't, like, hold up for me.
Like, because I haven't really seen those movies. I've always, like, held them, like, I don't know, very high esteem.
Sure.
At least around, because... I was, like, around that age, you know, when I don't know if that's, like, plays, like, a huge part in it. But, like, it's only almost fun. Like, I remember those days being, like, a perv.
Yeah.
But I feel like, if I were to, like, look back and kind of, like, analyze it, like, dude, they're, like, streaming this chick, like, on the internet.
Right? Yeah.
That's, like,
yeah.
That's illegal.
Super invasion. I love the invasion of privacy. Like, that's, like, what the recording someone without their permission?
It's, like, damn.
Shannon Elizabeth part, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm, like, yeah, I don't think that would hold up nowadays. But I guess I don't know. I'd rather, like, I don't really see myself like watching it at any point again, you know? Like, but see, American Pie, what else?
I guess a better question is there any of these teen movies that do hold up?
Teen movies.
Like, not another teen movie ironically holds up.
Oh, okay. Even if it was a spoof, like, She's All That
is
great.
She's All That is pretty good still. We saw that recently.
She's All That?
Mm-hmm. And it still is pretty good.
Well, she's still all that.
She is pretty. Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What is Randy Quaid? Like, in another team?
He's a dad.
His nicknames, what does he call her?
Pumpkin Tits. He calls her Pumpkin Tits.
That's funny shit.
I think he's... Because it's supposed to be Kevin Pollak, who was in the real one, right? Yeah.
He was good, like, even, like, as a, you know, supporting actor. But fucking pumpkin. And she's just like, whatever, like, oh, thanks, like, daddy. Like,
so bad, dude.
So bad. That's so good. I don't know why, man. It's like, it seems like so, obviously, like, dumb and dirty, but why is that shit still so funny? Because there's lots of stuff that's, like, it could be, like, super crude or...
Yeah, like, why does that hold up, though? We're not, you know, that the American Pie ones don't, right? Yeah.
Huh. I think it's because, like, you know that it's, like, a complete, like, parody of whatever it's supposed to be. Because
it's making fun of those type of movies.
Right, exactly. Where it's, like, almost like the dad, or it could be, like, a stepdad, and he's, like, too comfortable with the daughter.
Or just saying the whole thing. It's just weird, yeah.
But
that's something, like, Gwen and Tom would still laugh at. Like, that's fucking funny, the fact that this is ridiculous. But what's not laughable is, like you said, streaming fucking someone without their permission.
Right.
And, like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, some foreign exchange student who doesn't know has a language. You know, it's even, like, more, like, oh, dude, you're taking advantage of someone like this? Yeah.
And it's crazy because, you know, they said that they ended up, like, mistakenly streaming it to the entire school, right. You know?
Like, yeah, that's like a lawsuit that, you know, there's the evidence is right there. Like, someone's going away. But I guess at the time, you don't even really think about it that way until, like, you... I guess, like, looking back now, being older, you know?
I don't know if that's true because I remember feeling this way about when I was a child watching Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where, like, he pretends to be her boyfriend and has sex with her with a Darth Vader mask. I don't know if you remember this.
No.
So in Revenge of the Nerds, like, the main nerd, like, puts on the same costume, quote-unquote Halloween costume, as the main chick's boyfriend. And she thinks it's her boyfriend and he has sex with her. And then, like, and that's when she, like, you know, converts to, like, to be sympathetic to the nerds. But I remember watching that scene and was like, I think this is rape. I'm, like, seven or eight years old. And I'm like, this isn't right, right? Like, this isn't cool. Right. I just remember thinking, like, this is weird. Like, shouldn't he tell her that it's not him? You know, that whole thing. I just remember feeling that way back then. And I was just like, this is not cool, guys. You know, that whole thing, yeah. But in that scene, that's like a heroic moment. Like, oh, now... It's basically like, I can turn you, let me just give you some deep dicking or some shit like that. It's such a douchey thing. And I was like, this is a hero? This is who we're rooting for? Like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, this is not, no. I just remember thinking that part's not cool. Yeah.
Like, it was in the first season of American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like the only one that I saw. I saw them and watched the other ones.
It's almost Dylan McDermott, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I guess, like, it's, like, a very, very similar thing where, like, the wife thinks it's him, but it's, like, I forgot, like, who, I think it's, like, a burglar or something.
Oh, shit.
And I think he's, like, wearing, like, a mask or something, and he goes into, like, have sex with her. I think they were, like, role-playing her.
Connie Britton, right?
Huh?
Is it Connie Britton, the wife?
Was that her? I'm trying to remember. I really don't remember a whole lot, but I just remember that that's exactly what that scene reminds me of. Where, like, he goes into the room and she sees her, like, hey, come over here, like, whatever. And he starts doing it. Then there's, like, a point where she's just looking at him, like, something feels off, you know?
This penis isn't right.
Like, something, you know?
But, you can't tell me that, like, a wife that has sex with her husband doesn't know how his penis feels, right?
It's, like, I don't know. But, like, I think just the way they directed that scene where it's just, like, very close up to her face and you kind of see where she's,
where,
like,
she realizes...
Almost into it, but at the same time, it's like, okay, something feels off.
Right.
And she's looking at the guy, because I think it's like, as a mask, you only see the eyes. It's like, and it's like this weird kind of like contact thing where the guy, because he's not saying anything, you know? Right. He's like, keeping quiet. He's just like,
I'm gonna try that tonight.
Oh, shit.
And then, like, when she's like, say something, you know, like, whatever, I have a mask on, and, you know, me and Jack are getting into it, intimate, and she's looking at me weird, like, is this him? And she's like, say something so I know it's you. And I'm like, you're the one that's out of this world, sweet baby.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
That's so stupid. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. I guess we can.
That's a great way to end
it. Over there. You're the one that's out of this world. All right, guys. This has been Susan Boots. We had a lot of fun talking. We hope you had a lot of fun listening. I think that's it.
Consent is cool.